The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We've got a lot to get to today. After the news, I want to talk to you a little bit about the latest developments for KPCG, the station. Yesterday, we launched our new website. We'll talk more about that again after the first segment. And later, too, I want to update you on the viewer response numbers that we're getting here in the UK in response to the television program. But first, I want to begin the program today by just rolling through some of the highlights from President Obama's press conference yesterday at the G7 summit in Germany. The gathering of these seven nations and some others together with them. But keep in mind, this used to be the G8, but Russia has been misbehaving. And so Russia's no longer in the club. And the United States, and I suppose others, like to believe that Russia is isolated, all alone, and we'll talk more about that in just a second, not to get ahead of myself. But let me just start first by giving you a clip from yesterday's press conference. This is President Obama talking about Russia.
As we've seen again in recent days, Russian forces continue to operate in eastern Ukraine, violating Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. This is now the second year in a row that the G7 has met without Russia. Another example of Russia's isolation. And every member of the G7 continues to maintain sanctions on Russia for its aggression against Ukraine.
And so every member of the G7 continues to maintain those sanctions that he speaks of there. But there's not just seven nations in the world, of course. And there's a lot of big and powerful nations that are right now strengthening their ties with Russia, strengthening their alliance with Vladimir Putin. The United States administration, the response to the Russian offensive in these last couple of years is that, well, Russia's isolating itself. They're all alone, as I was saying there before the clip. But the reality is Russia keeps devouring territory and picking up allies right and left. We talked last week about its alliance with China and how that it's stronger than ever. And how that this fits right in line with several major prophecies in your Bible. Significant developments for sure. I want you to go back to Jeremiah Jacques' article at thetrumpet.com. This is just from the other day, June 5th. Putin's plan in Ukraine, invade, wait, and invade. Mr. Jacques quotes from Victor Davis Hanson, a piece that he wrote back in March, in which he said, from Philip of Macedon to Napoleon, aggressors did not necessarily have a grand timetable for creating an empire. Instead, they went at it ad hoc. They took as much as they could at any given time and then backed away for a bit. If they sensed strong opposition was building, only to go back on the offensive when vigilance waned. And Hansen in that piece points out how that's been the strategy for many aggressors down through the ages, including Adolf Hitler. He employed that same strategy, that same method, when wanting to expand his territory. And that's what Putin is doing right now. Hardly isolated and alone, if anything, expanding its empire, that Russian empire, you could say, and strengthening that critical alliance with China and all of the massive resources that that nation represents, to say nothing of Iran, Syria, and so on. This second clip that I have here is what the president had to say with respect to the spread of the Islamic State. Notice what he said.
With respect to ISIL, we have made significant progress in pushing back ISIL from areas in which they had occupied or disrupted local populations. But we've also seen areas like in Ramadi where they're displaced in one place and then they come back in another. And they're nimble, and they're aggressive, and they're opportunistic. So we're reviewing a range of plans for how we might do that, essentially accelerating the number of Iraqi forces that are properly trained and equipped and have a focused strategy and good leadership. And when a finalized plan is presented to me by the Pentagon, then I will share it with the American people. It's not, we don't yet have a complete strategy because it requires commitments on the part of the Iraqis as well about how recruitment takes place, how that training takes place. And so the details of that are not yet worked out.
Now, the president's taken a lot of heat for that last statement there. The fact that the United States doesn't have a complete strategy yet. It's waiting on the Iraqis and so on and so forth. But here is this Islamic State beheading Christians by the hundreds, even some American hostages, carrying on with mass kidnappings, murder, rape, and the U.S. still has no strategy. That's really remarkable when you think of it. No complete strategy as yet, as if the United States has to sit back and wait for the little nation of Iraq before it can do something. And of course, the Iraqi forces, as you know, are fleeing the scene. They're running from trouble. This clip that I have in addition to the one you just heard, this is from August 28th, 2014. And notice what President Obama said again about the U.S. strategy in Iraq, or lack thereof. Here's what he said.
We don't have a strategy yet. I think what I've seen in some of the news reports suggests that folks are getting a little further ahead of where we're at than we currently are.
So that's what he said 9 months ago. The Islamic State has been on its rampage well over a year now. And of course, the administration initially just kind of downplayed its significance, calling it the junior varsity and so on. But for the past year, as I said, it's been on a roll in Syria, in Iraq. And still, the United States doesn't know what to do. Think about the message that this projects to ISIS, to the Islamic State, to America's enemies. We, you know, this is a problem, yes, and we really don't know what to do. I mean, going back to what the administration thinks about Putin and Russia being isolated, which major power is really the isolated nation and power in this world? Which major power is standing alone? Increasingly, who is it that's losing territory? Who is it that's losing allies? Well, if you're looking at the facts, at reality, you can see that it's the U.S. that is backtracking. It's the U.S. that's losing important allies in the Middle East and elsewhere. It's the U.S. that's losing territory in Iraq and elsewhere. This is an opinion piece at the Washington Post by a retired Air Force general from June 5th, just a few days ago. And he talked about the U.S. strategy against ISIS, or lack thereof. It says, in the campaign against the Islamic State, we are averaging 12 strike sorties per day. 12 per day. And then he says this, during Operation Desert Storm in Iraq and Kuwait in 1991, the average was 1,241. In Operation Allied Force in Kosovo in 1999, it was 298. In the first 30 days of Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003, 691. That's the number of strike sorties per day. It says during Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan in 2001, it was 86. Today it's 12. 12, not even a wrist slap. The U.S. is basically doing nothing. And then when asked about its strategy, saying that, well, we need Iraq to get on board with this. Notice what the rest of this opinion piece has to say. It says, complicating the effort to defeat the Islamic State is an excessive focus on the avoidance of collateral damage and casualties. He says, this is again a retired Air Force general. He says, in an armed conflict, the military establishes rules of engagement designed to balance the moral imperative to minimize damage and unintentional casualties against what's required to accomplish the mission. It says, recently reported by pilots actually fighting the Islamic State, is that the current rules, which far exceed accepted law of war standards, impose excessive restrictions that work to the advantage of the enemy. The ponderous and unnecessary set of procedures in place is allowing the Islamic State to exploit our desire to avoid civilian casualties to commit atrocities on the ground. So the U.S., and they're not even making much of an effort at all, as you can see from the strike sortie figures. But even when they do make a strike, we go in with these kinds of self-imposed restrictions, handcuffing ourselves, basically. And it's easy. How easy would it be to shield yourself from those retaliatory strikes just using humans, using communities, because the U.S. is bending over backwards to avoid any kind of civilian casualties. Pretty amazing. Even what little the U.S. is doing is severely limited by these self-imposed rules of engagement. Let me switch over to China. You know all about the recent cyber attack. We talked about this last week on the program. And here's what President Obama said yesterday about that recent cyber attack.
I don't want to discuss, because we haven't publicly unveiled who we think may have engaged in these cyber attacks. But I can tell you that we have known for a long time that there are significant vulnerabilities, and that these vulnerabilities are going to accelerate as time goes by, both in systems within government and within the private sector. This is why it's so important that Congress moves forward on passing cyber legislation.
And here again, this is just an incredible statement to make. Here, these attacks have been going on for months. They've been happening over and again, massive scale attacks. And the president acknowledges that we're vulnerable, that the problem's only going to get worse, which is why we desperately need Congress to pass legislation. We need some kind of legislation to protect our computers from cyber attacks. In other words, we can't really do anything about it. If anything, it's Congress's fault. Congress won't act, says this administration, which has been expanding its powers since day one, as we discussed yesterday. But on this little matter of cyber attacks, well, the hands are tied, I guess. And really, what kind of strategy, going back to what he said about ISIS, what kind of strategy is there if after a year of beheadings and rapes and kidnappings, the U.S. still has no strategy, no complete strategy to face ISIS? How long is it going to take to put a strategy in place to prevent these Chinese cyber attacks? You had an American official, I read this to you yesterday, talking about how some of the latest improvements, they helped them detect that there was an attack. They didn't help prevent the attack. They only helped to detect it, which makes you then wonder, well, how many of them aren't even detected? Well, the ones that we find out about, and there have been three large-scale attacks just in the last 9-10 months. Carrying on with this same theme, here's how the president described just how serious Our vulnerability is, notice.
Part of the problem is that we've got very old systems. And you know, we discovered this new breach in OPM precisely because we've initiated this process of inventorying and upgrading these old systems to address existing vulnerabilities. This is going to be a big project, and we're going to have to keep on doing it because both state and non-state actors are sending everything they've got at trying to breach these systems. In some cases, it's non-state actors who are engaging in criminal activity and potential theft. In the case of state actors, they're probing for intelligence or, in some cases, trying to bring down systems in pursuit of their various foreign policy objectives.
Attacks are coming from non-state actors, from state actors. Just yesterday, you might have seen I think it was talked about at the top of the hour during headlines. The U.S. Army's website hacked by a Syrian group of some kind. The stage is being set, as we discussed last week, for Ezekiel 7 and verse 14 to be fulfilled. This is America's Achilles heel. And at least the president recognizes how vulnerable we are. But where is the will? Where is the will to really clamp down on this threat? To eliminate the problem. That prophecy, by the way, in Ezekiel 7. The alarm will sound, but none go to battle, as my father has explained before. Is this because the systems shut down? Is this because of a massive cyber attack? Well, we're already seeing massive attacks affecting millions of people. This is from the Wall Street Journal, June 7th. The Chinese have your numbers. It writes, U.S. government incompetence seems to grow by the month, and now we know it's becoming a threat to national and even individual American security. It's becoming a threat to Americans, to our national security, to individual Americans. This is no routine hack, it says. The Office of Personnel Management, OPM, lost background check data to the Chinese 9 months before this breach and still hadn't locked the cyber front door. It talks about the attack from 9 months ago. And then here come these state actors once again waging war. That's what this is. It says the episode is one more confirmation that China is waging an unrelenting, if unacknowledged, cyber war against the United States. The main targets have been universities and private companies with the goal of stealing intellectual property, but attacks on the government are increasingly brazen, coming right after the government, right after federal data, files, documents. It concludes its piece, the U.S. is already in a cyber war. The problem is that the Obama administration doesn't want to admit it. Well, at least he admits that we're vulnerable. But we are, as the Wall Street Journal brings out, we are engaged in cyber war. And it's time that the United States wake up and admit what's happening. It's amazing, really, when you think about all of these developments and headlines. Here, Communist China attacks the United States of America. And really, for most people, it's no big deal. It's not even a big deal. Okay, they lost some data. Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine. And what's the reaction? Well, what can we do about it? There's very little that we can even do. Nobody's crying over Crimea anymore. That's old news. And so he invades, and he stops, and then he waits for it to die down, the outcry, and then he invades again. What's it leading to? What is this building toward? ISIS is on the march, but unfortunately there's no clear strategy. There's no complete strategy to counter it. America's only option, it seems, is to just let Iran take care of it. And that's only going to make matters worse. And then you speak of Iran and its nuclear stockpile. And the president himself, a week or two ago, talked about how its program had been halted, to use the term he used. And then we find out last week that its nuclear fuel stockpile, it grew by 20%. That's the world we live in. These are dangerous times. These are dangerous days. And yet, think about what the average American is concerned about. Think about what the hot topics are in the news cycle, at least within America. Think about what most people are concerned about. Even as these frightening developments take place, you're listening to KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream is available at our new website. We'll talk about that in just a moment after the break. But the live stream is at kpcg.fm. If you'd like to send us some feedback or questions, send those requests to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
Jesus Christ prophesied that we are about to enter a time when America's and Britain's global influence will be snuffed out and Gentile powers will wreak unimaginable havoc on the earth. This seismic shift in geopolitical momentum away from America and toward a clutch of non-Israelite Gentile powers, accompanied by an escalation in brutal violence and war, is actually good news, ultimately. It is one of the signs Jesus Christ gave of his imminent return. The darkness and evil that are about to flood this globe presage the most wonderful news in human history. The most recent issue of the Trumpet magazine illuminates this sign, the geopolitical shift in favor of this world's growing Gentile powers. In this issue, the Trumpet looks squarely at where the reshaping of the Middle East is leading. It examines what we can expect a post-American Europe to look like in the time ahead. It exposes how the Asian landscape will be transformed when that continent's native powers return to dominance. It takes an unblinking look at just what this world should expect when the early indications we see today explode into their full scope. It shows how all of these events are already lining up perfectly to unfold in precise accordance with the Bible's prophetic outline. This issue also discusses the hope of physical protection God affords those who put their trust in Him, and the far greater hope of a new world governed by God, which will begin when the darkness has passed. Soon we will look back upon the problems making headlines today and recognize that they were merely, as Jesus Christ termed it, the beginning of sorrows. The time for complacency is past. Visit thetrumpet.com to receive a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet magazine.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
So listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show on KPCG just got easier, and it's more fun as well. Yesterday, the radio station launched its new website, 101.3 FM, The Voice, as it says there on the website, your source of understanding besides the live stream, which we've had that available now for several weeks. The website now also has programming posted as podcasts. So now you can listen to your favorite radio station, your favorite shows on your favorite radio station, wherever you are if you have internet access, and whenever you want if you have the appropriate device. I was delighted this morning to find KPCG now available on the TuneIn app. If you know anything about TuneIn, it's basically like carrying a radio with you if you have a mobile phone, if you have a smartphone, and you get the app. I've used this app myself for several years, and it's wonderful for traveling, to connect to your favorite program or show to listen to with headphones in an airport or wherever, in your car. But if you have the TuneIn app, and if you don't have it, go and get it. We're working on our own app. Eventually, we'll have our own. But for now, load the TuneIn app to your phone, whether Android or iPhone, and then run a search for KPCG. It's really easy to use. You can follow it. I think this morning I got on there and there were 6 followers, so it's starting small, but it'll be interesting and exciting to see that number increase. TuneIn also has a record feature. I believe your phone might need to have a certain amount of memory, but still, you can even record programs on your phone as you're listening to them. So go to TuneIn if you haven't and become one of the followers to KPCG. As I say, we're also working to develop our own app, and I think the guys back at headquarters in Edmond, Oklahoma are working also to make the stream and the downloads available through other sources like iTunes, SoundCloud, and so on. So we'll keep you posted on any further developments. Our station manager last week said that Friday was our best day in terms of the listening audience online. He said there were 710 listening sessions at kpcg.fm. That was just from Friday. Now, overall, it's been a small beginning, as I said in a program a couple of weeks ago. That's the way it is with God's work, but it's amazing, really, to see just how fast the growth has been after just 1 month. Yesterday afternoon, I happened to turn on the station and I heard Dwight Falk there interviewing Ryan Malone, who's been working on his new program, Music for Life. I believe the debut is next Monday at 4 p.m. Oklahoma time, and we'll repeat it a few times through the week in case you miss it. But make sure you tune in next Monday afternoon if you're in the central time zone there in the United States or wherever you are around the world. And, of course, at the KPCG website, you can also look at the schedule, the programming schedule, and like we've done here in the U.K., and just make the time adjustments depending upon which time zone you live in so that you can know when your favorite program will be playing. Tune in, as I say, to Music for Life, hosted by Ryan Malone, our music director there at Armstrong College in Edmond, Oklahoma. All right, a few updates, or an update rather, on the responses that we've been getting to the CBS Reality Program, the Key of David UK program that we've been producing over here in the UK. Our most recent program, which went to air on June the 7th, that would be Sunday. The program was The First and Great Commandment. I think this is available on the website, thetrumpet.com. But it played over here on Sunday, and we got 76 total responses to that program, which we were really excited by. A lot of times the programs that are more focused on prophecy and prophetic developments tend to get bigger responses. But this was one on the law. I mean, this was one on the First and Great Commandment, and we offered the Ten Commandments booklet. And as I say, we were very excited that we got 76 responses. The week before that, I mentioned the Raising the Ruins program from a couple of weeks ago, and how we were excited to offer that book for the first time to those that were not familiar with the history, the story of the Philadelphia Church of God, and what happened early on with the Worldwide Church of God attempting to destroy the works of Mr. Armstrong, to destroy the work of Herbert Armstrong. That program, Raising the Ruins, generated 73 responses. So there were 73 households throughout the UK that requested Raising the Ruins. Now, just as a general trend, the past 5 weeks, I think the average, if you go back to the start, and again, this was a small beginning. We only started on TV with just one small station here in the UK back in January. So we've been going now for 22 or 23 Sundays, I think it is. And on average, if you look at the whole, on average, we've brought in about 60 to 65 responses. But over the last 5 weeks, The last five programs, we've been well above average, as you can see even from those last 2 weeks, 76 and 73 responses, respectively. And of course, we're anxious for July the 4th because with July, we're going to be adding one more station to the mix and hoping that we double our response, hoping that 75 or 80 responses turns into 150 or 160. That's something to certainly be praying about. Speaking of the Key of David, of course, the mother program, the Key of David, there produced in Edmond, Oklahoma. Last week, my father taped a new episode for the program, or for the Key of David, titled The Times of the Gentiles. Ties right in with some of the things that we talked about in the first segment, and how that God has such a strong warning for his people and for the nations of America and Britain. What happens when you see them decline? What happens when you see their influence diminished? Well, we're seeing it today. The times of the Gentiles. You study these prophecies that my father is going to be discussing in that program and study it in light of current events happening in Russia, happening in Iran and with the Islamic State and in China. I mean, really, we should have a sense of urgency like never before, given what's happening in this world. You can look for that new program to play this weekend all across North America and around the world, the Key of David program on the times of the Gentiles. Of course, as always, it's posted at thetrumpet.com on Fridays. So go to thetrumpet.com on Friday to watch the new program, the new Key of David program produced there in Oklahoma. You're listening to KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream is available at kpcg.fm, or it's available at the TuneIn app. If you have that on your phone, just go and search for KPCG within that app. If you'd like to send us some feedback on all these new developments, all these exciting steps forward for God's work, then send those responses, those questions, send any feedback that you have to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. The relatively new science of archaeology, the digging up and study of the material remains of man's past, has confirmed without question the historical accuracy of the Bible. Solid, documented evidence, apart from the Bible, confirms events and persons that at one time were known to us only from Scripture. The Bible is real, and you need to pay attention to it. Call now and request your free copy of The Authority of the Bible. This lesson, which comes from the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, blows the dust off your Bible. You will learn how to mine the treasures buried in the greatest book on earth. You can discover its secrets and enrich your life today. For more information, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
All right, I want to take you through just a few more news pieces. There really is just so much going on this morning in my email alerts for the latest stories from the New York Times. I noticed this infographic: the global struggle to respond to the worst refugee crisis in generations. This is from today's New York Times, and all the graphics to go along with it. And this explanation up front, it says 11 million people were uprooted by violence last year. That's 2014. 11 million people uprooted by violence. It says most propelled by conflict in Syria, Iraq, Ukraine, and Afghanistan. Conflict and extreme poverty have also pushed tens of thousands out of parts of sub-Saharan Africa and Southeast Asia. Here's a look, it says, at the international response to what has become the worst migration crisis since World War II, according to the United Nations. The worst since World War II. That's important. There's a lot of people today, even with all the problems that they see around the world, who still say, well, it's never going to get as bad as it was in the World War II era, as it was in the first half of the 20th century. But these are the levels that we're rising to now. The worst migration crisis since World War II. We may think we, have comfort in wherever it is we live. But for a lot of people on this earth, they're fleeing. They're running to other nations. Or they're getting on boats and trying to cross the Mediterranean to get into Europe. I think I saw a figure within that infographic that said 1,800 people died trying to make that journey. 1,800 people just trying to get out of Africa and into Italy or wherever. And they die on the boat ride. This article, it says, is from CBS New York. It says NYPD, cops flood high crime areas in summer all-out initiative. Why are they making an all-out initiative, the police, in New York? What's the problem there? What's happening in New York? Well, the same thing that's happening in so many of our big cities. It says the NYPD began a major effort Monday, so this is yesterday, to combat a spike in violent crime. That's what they're combating. For the first time in nearly two decades, crime statistics show shootings in the city are up for a second straight year. The launch, it says, comes amid a 19.5% spike in murders from this time last year. A 19% spike. Well, we know where this is headed as well, and it's prophesied. It's talked about in one of the most sobering prophecies in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 5. My father recently gave a Key of David program on Isaiah 1 and verse 7. Isaiah also speaks of it. Cities being burned with fire. That's what's featured on the latest Trumpet magazine. If you haven't subscribed to that, go to thetrumpet.com and get that delivered to your mailbox, wherever you live in the world. Make sure you get the hard copy of the Trumpet magazine. This last piece I want to refer to, Con Coughlin's piece, the Saudis are ready to go nuclear. This article talks about how Saudi Arabia is so much more assertive than it was even a year or two ago. And it's that way because it's countering Iran's dominance in the region. Iran's the bully in the neighborhood. And Saudi Arabia is rising to the challenge. They know what's happening. They know someone has to do it. If the United States isn't going to do it, well, then they're doing it themselves. This article, Mr. Coughlin says, in the past 2 years, Saudi Arabia, how's this for a sobering statistic? We've brought out some of these facts and figures in recent weeks. But it says, in the past 2 years, Saudi Arabia has beaten Britain into fourth place in the world's military spending league with a defense budget of around $37 billion compared to the UK of $34 billion. It's past the UK in defense spending. And of course, you know that with respect to the UK, that figure's going down and down and down. But not in nations like Saudi Arabia. They're upping the spending. It says the military offensive in Yemen has seen Saudi Arabia deploy an estimated 150,000 troops, nearly twice the size of the British Army. Nearly twice the size of the British Army. While Saudi fighter jets, many of them British-made, have flown thousands of sorties. That's with respect to Yemen. Compare that with the sorties the United States is flying against the Islamic State. 12 per day. Look at this world. Is this a dangerous world that we live in? It's easy to just get lost in your own little neighborhood with all your devices, as valuable as they can be, to tune in to stations like this. Of course, there's lots and lots and lots of noise out there to distract you. Satan planned it that way. Satan wants you preoccupied with all kinds of distractions. He doesn't want you to focus on the voice He doesn't want you to focus on what God is saying. He wants you concentrating on things that really don't matter at all. This piece says, now the Saudis have raised the alarming prospect of the Middle East becoming embroiled in a nuclear arms race after the country's blunt warning that all options are on the table if Iran fails to resolve the international standoff over its nuclear program. It's reserving its right to go nuclear if it needs to. Prince Mohammed, Saudi Arabia's long-serving ambassador to London, says that for many years the kingdom upheld the policy established by the late King Fahd that Riyadh would not pursue a policy of developing nuclear weapons. Then it became known that Iran was pursuing a policy that could be shifted to a weapons of mass destruction program, Prince Mohammed explained in an interview with the Daily Telegraph. This has changed the whole outlook in the region. I mean, this is a dramatic change, he's saying. It says Western intelligence agencies believe that the Saudi monarchy paid for up to 60% of Pakistan's nuclear program in return for the ability to buy warheads for itself at short notice. Any failure by Iran to provide the necessary safeguards by the end of this month could see Riyadh activate that deal, thereby enabling Saudi Arabia to become the Arab world's first nuclear power. And if that were to happen, then many other regional powers, such as Egypt and Turkey, would also attempt to follow suit. A nuclear arms race in the world's most unstable region. That's what we're witnessing. A nuclear arms race in the world's most unstable region? In the world's most dangerous neighborhood? Let's look at Daniel 12 and just conclude here with a couple of sobering Bible verses. We truly are on a countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. All the signs are there. You can see them. I mean, if you're listening to this program, you know the countdown has begun. In Daniel 12 and verse 1, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." I mean, this is a time of trouble such as never was since there was even a nation, God says. We talked last week about that time of Jacob's trouble, as it's called in Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. It's primarily aimed at Jacob, Ephraim, and Manasseh. But this time of trouble, it will engulf the world. A time of trouble like this world has never seen. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Verse 21, he said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." See, already, you see this mass migration, refugee problem, as I read to you. And we haven't even entered into world war, not yet, but that's coming. And when you think of the weapons that man has available at his disposal today, what kind of mass scale are we talking about? Well, the Bible does talk about it. That's the thing. Think on those words from Matthew 24, 21. Think on those words in Daniel 12 and verse 1. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 19, it says, "For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be, not since the beginning of creation." These are the troubled days that we're living in, that we're entering into. And yet God says to his people, look, you'll be delivered if you're in that book, if you're found written in the book, that's talking about the book of remembrance. Those who hang on to God's truth, those who remember the work and the message of Herbert Armstrong, those who dig in to their Bibles and draw near to God in prayer, those who support God's work, God's end of the end time work. Notice this quote in conclusion. This is from Herbert Armstrong. He wrote this back in 1985, so this was just a few months before he died, and he was urging the brethren in the Worldwide Church of God to get their priorities straight. He said, this is October 25th, 1985, "No matter what the national or world conditions, God Almighty will keep His work going forward and growing and multiplying in power and scope. That's what you see happening with this little work. That's what you see happening with this radio station, with KPCG. No matter what the national or world conditions, God will keep His work moving forward. God will keep His work growing and multiplying in power and scope." He says, remember, you and I are servants of God. We're His instruments. He's using us in preparing for Christ's coming and His kingdom. It says the living Jesus Christ is the head of this work. He directs it. If we are willing to give ourselves to Him, willing to sacrifice for Him, He will see that we are prospered and financially able and spiritually able to keep up our part until His tremendous mission is accomplished. Very encouraging words indeed. You're listening to KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial and available as a live stream on our new website at kpcg.fm. Thank you for listening to us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.